Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company is taking over the remainder of this evening's Jell-O show for a special program which they have prepared. May I now introduce to you my good friend, Ken Carpenter.
Thanks, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, last Friday night, NBC had a special program dedicated to Jack Benny's 10th anniversary on the air. For that particular occasion, a musical tribute to Jack had been prepared, but due to a limitation of time, we were unable to include this in the broadcast. However, we feel that you, Jack Benny's listeners, would like to hear this salutation. So if Jack and the rest of the cast will take seats in the audience, we will proceed with the life of Jack Benny in music. Okay, let's go. Forty-seven years ago, Waukegan, Illinois, was a little-known settlement boasting a few scattered stores, one of which was owned by one Meyer Benny. There was much excitement around Mr. Benny's store the day we start our story, easily explained by the cries of the newsboys on the neighboring streets.
Extra! Extra! A message from the stork!
Mr. Benny found a baby boy when he came home from work.
He's proudly handing out cigars and boasting he will be the father of a president in 1903. The father of a president in 1903.
As Jack remembers only too well, his father's predominant characteristic was strictness. He was the sort of a man who regarded the raising of a youngster as stern, stern business. On the occasion of bringing his first report card home from school, we find Jack approaching his father with considerable alarm.
Let me look at your report card, Jack, my boy.
Jack, my boy.
I am sure my heart will overflow with joy.
Flow with joy.
What's this? English C. Algebra D. History D, Geography F. He draws his maps in the treble clef.
Scholarship 4, Deportment 4, Scholarship 4, Deportment 4.
I just can't do a thing with him. He won't study, he won't work. I can't make him concentrate. He'll be the death of me. A bad influence. Thinks of music all the time. Music.
Deportment 4, Scholarship 4, Deportment 4.
What's this? Music A? Music A?
Yes, Jack's main interest as a child was the violin. He hated to practice, but he loved to play, especially with his devoted grandmother for an audience. She would sit for hours in the cold parlor alone on the row of chairs that was supposed to represent the audience while her grandson played show for her. He played comedian.
Who was that lady? I saw you was there with no lady.
Magician.
Now watch me very closely. I have nothing up my sleeve.
Dancer. Singer.
Waukegan's praise are funny.
Violinist. In spite of his intense dislike for practice, Jack soon attained sufficient skill to play in the junior orchestra of Waukegan and occasionally in a reel-for-sure dance orchestra in one of the neighboring towns. Then, suddenly, out of a clear blue sky, the bolt fell. Jack was expelled from high school for spending his afternoons in a vaudeville theater.
Yes, they threw out our hero, alas and alack. The burdens of school were too much for poor Jack.
He much preferred to hang around the Barrison Theater, worshipping the ingenue and wondering what they paid her. He got a job as doorman so he could watch the stars emerging from this wondrous place and help them to their cars.
He got in the orchestra after a bit and played violin with the boys in the pit.
From his seat in the orchestra pit, Jack reveled in the imposing array of stars of that year. The Marx Brothers, Marilyn Miller, Joe Cook, Chick Sale, all the big-time acts played there. When the theater closed some months later, the leader of the orchestra, Cora Salisbury, asked Jack to join her in a violin and piano act. He consented, and a new act was born. Salisbury and Benny, from Grand Opera to Ragtime.
Thank you.
Benny's apprenticeship was served in musty old theaters with a few worn pieces of scenery, a two-piece orchestra in the pit, cramped dressing room in the cellar, rats that ate the grease paint right off the shelves, but he loved it. 4 years of this until a family illness called Cora back to Waukegan. Jack's adventure was over. There was nothing for him to do but to go to work in his father's store. He waited on the customers with his mind a million miles away.
Some pink and white suspenders, please. My brother needs a pair.
Gosh, Eva Tangway, singing I Don't Care.
Have you any black silk socks, size 11, please?
Jolson was sensational singing Mammy on his knees.
Selling men's apparel only filled young Jack with loathing. He wanted to be next to closing instead of next to clothing.
Dissatisfied as a salesman, Jack began to look around for a new partner. Friends told him of a great piano player in Chicago, and they formed an act. Benny and Woods, 10 minutes of syncopation. The act went so well that by the third season, they received an offer from one of New York's biggest agents. He not only agreed to handle them in New York, but proceeded to book them immediately into that mecca of all vaudevillians, the Palace.
New York, 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 New York.
Now every act that's ever been from Jacksonville to Chickapin has always wanted to be in the Palace.
Though they're a wow in Kankakee and get a raise in salary, their ultimate goal will always be the Palace.
We'll kill them in the Palace, we'll slay them in the Palace, we'll wow them in the Palace, we'll lay them in the aisles. They'll love us in the Palace, they'll cheer us in the Palace.
Benny and Woods were a flop in the Palace. Some performers are doomed forever to be second-raters, never to reach the big time. Violinist Jack Benny was one of these. He would never succeed. Well, it was after Jack joined the Navy that he discovered himself to be a comedian. There was nothing mysterious about it. He appeared in the Great Lakes Review, and the author, Dave Wolf, gave him a few lines to speak, and people laughed at him, that was all. When the war ended, Jack went back to vaudeville, but as a single this time, emphasizing comedy and using the violin just to fill out the act. Not long after that, Jack fell in love. He was wandering around the May Company in Los Angeles one day in search of a new...
I beg your pardon, but where can I find men suits?
4 aisles over and 3 aisles down.
Well, thank you. Oh, by the way, what do you sell?
I sell ladies' hosiery and things.
Oh, yes, I just remember that's what I need, some ladies' hosiery and things for my sister.
Really? Can I help you in your selection?
Definitely. Here, and when I buy my suit, and whenever I need anything else.
Ha, 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 that's fine. That's just fine.
Guess what her name was, guess what her name was.
My name was Mary Marks that day that Benny bought his suit. But now I'm Mary Livingston and Mrs. Benny to boot.
Her name is Mary Livingston and Mrs. Benny to boot.
As Mrs. Jack Benny, Mary tried hard to forget the comfortable security she'd given up for a portable existence in hotels and trains, but she was pretty unhappy the first year, packing, unpacking, checking in, checking out.
Whenever Jack would play a town that Mary thought was swell, she'd find a nice apartment and fix it up real well. And just when she'd begin to think that they were there to stay, Jack would get a booking 1,500 miles away. One day he got an offer to do a Broadway show.
That's for me, said Mary. Just say the word. Let's go. We'll get a nice apartment near Central Park, and then we'll hope and trust and pray we'll never have to move again.
So Jack assumed the starring role in Carol's Vanities, and they were sitting pretty as you please. But just when they had signed a lease and paid the bills they owed, the Vanities closed its New York run and went out on the road.
So Jack turned to radio as a solution to his problem. He auditioned and auditioned and auditioned to no avail. Finally, the New York columnist, Ed Sullivan, invited Jack to make a guest appearance on his program. a far cry from his familiar Jell-O again, these are the first words that Jack Benny ever uttered on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Benny talking. There will be a slight pause while you say, who cares? You know, Ed, I just got in from Hollywood, but I'm going back in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be in a new picture with Greta Garbo. They sent me the story last week, and it's a very novel idea. When the picture first opens, I'm found dead in the bathroom. It's sort of a mystery picture. I'm found in the bathtub on Wednesday night.
It wasn't long before Jack had his first sponsor, Canada Dry. And that was the start of a career almost unsurpassed in radio. He had swell help at first from writer Harry Kahn. But in recent years, his authors have been Bill Morrow and Ed Beloit. And let us not forget Harry Baldwin, Jack's faithful secretary, who's been with him ever since his early days in radio. Most of America listens on Sunday nights to hear the familiar strains of...
J-E-L-Hello to you. J-E-L-Hello to you.
You'll hear this old familiar sound on every Sunday night.
When Jack Benny comes around to make your Sabbath bright.
J-E-L-Hello to you. Means half an hour of fun that's new.
He'll tell you how he killed him at a Wednesday matinee.
Complain about the awful salaries that he has to pay.
No matter what he talks about, you're glad to hear him say, J-E-L-Hello to you. We must have music, so play, Phil. You're okay, Phil, you know the way, Phil.
He murders the English language and he panics all the dames.
He plays the kind of music a jitterbug acclaims.
And Benny found out long ago you simply can't embarrass Phil Harris. We must have a singer, so sing, Benny. Your fans are many, so sing, Benny.
He's as Irish as a shillelagh.
Yeah, shillelagh.
And he hits a high C daily.
Yeah, daily.
Whenever Jack puts on a play, the boy that plays the menace is Dennis. We must have an announcer, so sell Don. Do it well, Don. Give him Don. He wears a cool 265 and Benny loves to kid him. It must have been those six delicious flavors that undid him.
But when they need a man to push the Maxwell up the hill, son, it's Wilson.
We must have a comedian, so here's Mary. Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
She reads the most outrageous poems that you have ever heard. And when she isn't doing that, she's giving Jack the bird.
The one who has Jack Benny on the verge of Harry Carey is Mary. We must have a butler, so bring on Rochester.
I'm coming, boss!
Bring on Rochester.
He's a dusky devil, but on the level, he's really a wonderful yes man. His main concern is he'd like to learn what happened to the gas man.
There's always a crowd around him asking for autographs. Jack and Mary do all the work and he gets all the laughs. The folks back in Waukegan as a sort of testimonial planted a tree for Jack one day in manner ceremonial. Now this made quite a hit with Jack and proudly he would boast, but the poor tree died.
Fred Allen says it's because the sap was on the coast.
J-E-L-Hello to you. J-E-L-Hello to you.
When Jack does his programs away from home, you may have heard him say just before signing off,
good night, Joni.
Joni is his baby girl, and Jack carries her picture and brags about her just like any proud father. And so on his 10th anniversary in radio, we pay tribute to a man who has consistently topped the list of radio comedians. A man who has made the world laugh and laughs at the world. A man who still remembers the friends he made on the way up. Comedian, star maker, and good fellow,
Jack Benny.
Jack Benny.
Jack Benny. We say Jell-O to you.
thanks to NBC and you, Ken Carpenter, and to Gordon Jenkins for a swell job of directing. And thanks to all the others who participated. Really was a thrill, and I got a big kick out of it. I'm sure my cast did, too.
Say, Jackson, did you hear the wonderful tribute Fred Allen gave you last Wednesday?
Tribute? Certainly I heard it. But what do you mean, tribute?
He did your biology, didn't he?
That's biography. Biology is with the bees. Allen was supposed to eulogize me for 60 minutes, and he practically ignored me. And after all I've done for that guy.
What have you ever done for Allen?
What have I... Did you hear that, Mary? When Allen first broke into show business, who gave him a friendly pat on the back?
You did.
Yeah, who gave him advice?
You did.
Who gave him money when he needed it?
You did?
Yes, I did. And that shows you how grateful Allen is. Well, that's all you can expect from that guy.
Come in.
Pardon me, I was looking for the washroom, but this will do.
Why, Fred! Fred Allen!
Jack, I really dropped in tonight.
Wait a minute, Fred. Let me look at you.
Yeah?
Gee, you're looking swell.
Yeah?
I've never seen you have such rosy-colored bags under your eyes.
Look, Jack, I dropped in...
And a pained expression. You look like a hen trying to lay a basketball. I'm getting mine in first.
Well, all right, Jack.
Those wrinkles. Yeah. Honestly, Fred, your face looks like a convertible with the top halfway down. You know what I mean?
Now, sit down, little man. You must be tired after that Bob Hopian outburst. Ladies and gentlemen, please tune in your radios an hour from now when this nature boy of the gay 90s is a guest on my program without his writers.
Now, Fred, what...
Benny, without his writers, you can't tell Benny from Mr. Hush.
Now, wait a minute, Fred. What do
you... And he should talk about the way I look. Benny's hairline has receded so far, he combs his eyebrows to keep up his morale.
Fred, look.
I have seen more fuzz on a harvest moon. I'd hate to be drowning and have someone throw me a line like that.
Persimmon face. Look,
yeah.
What did you come barging in here for anyway?
Well, frankly, I didn't drop in here to see you, Jack. It's Mary I'd like to talk to. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Fred. What is it you wanted?
Well, Mary, you can do me a great favor. I came...
Hiya, Frederick. Long time no see.
Well, if it isn't Phil Harris. Hollywood's answer to, look, Ma, I'm drinking. There's Dennis Day. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Look, Fred, we're doing a program. Now, what do you want to see Mary about?
Yes, Fred, what is it?
Well, Mary, every now and then, Portland likes to take a couple of weeks off my program, and I thought a hungry girl like you might like to take her place.
Well, thanks, Fred, but I don't think I could take Portland's place.
Oh, yes, you could. Why don't you try, just try reading a line or two.
Wait a minute. Fred, I don't want my program sounding like yours.
I had three answers to that, Mr. Benny. Two of them the censor took out, and the third one I wouldn't dare tell without an airwick on the premises.
Oh, Jack, I'll just imitate Portland for a second. It won't sound like Fred's program.
Well, go ahead, Mary.
Well, all right. Oh, Mr. Allen! Mr. Allen!
What is it, Portland?
I'm from the South, the deep South, that is.
Terrible. I'm not long for this one.
Dennis.
Howdy, Bob.
Now, stop. Look, Fred, will you please let me run my own show? This is worse than last week when Bob Hope dropped
in
on us unexpectedly.
Not worse than last week. No.
We used up so much time, my program was cut off the air 10 seconds too soon.
Well, I thought it was cut off 30 minutes too late.
Well, only a friendly feud, of course. We didn't plan it, though. It came up by accident.
Fred said something one night on his show, and I picked it up the next week, then he picked it up, then I picked it up. And we were in the feud for about 8 months before we even did anything about it. And the feud went on until he passed away.
Well, that was really a great thing.
Sure was.
You crossed over every week almost,
sure,
didn't you?
Sure. And then we would go on each other's shows. He was probably the best comedian, the best one to ever have a feud with, you know, because he was the funniest. He's a great writer, that's why. Great wit.
It's a shame you can't stay over, Fred, so we could appear together. It'd be like old times.
Hey, Mr. Benny, did you and Mr. Allen once do an act together in vaudeville?
We sure did, Rochester. We had a lot of fun in those days.
Oh, gosh. Remember, Jack, how we'd always celebrate with a big dinner at Lindy's every time we got a job?
Yeah, we'd always get the best. Shrimp cocktail, turtle soup, chef salad.
Filet mignon, stuffed potatoes, strawberry shortcake.
Then I'd top it all off with a big glass of Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Well, he wanted to be asleep when the check came.
Those were the good old days. I'll never forget the time we rehearsed and polished our act for weeks. And we went to see Mickey Rockford, the biggest booking agent in New York. Come on, Fred. I think Mr. Rockford's office is down the hall.
Hey, it's crowded in here, Jack.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to talk to the secretary. Miss, we'd like to see Mr. Rockford.
Do you have an appointment?
Appointment? We're Benny and Allen.
Benny and Allen?
Yeah. Don't you recognize us?
Why? Is there a reward?
You don't understand, girlie. We do a vaudeville act.
Really? Which one throws the fish?
Say, that is clever. Miss, you ought to be in show business yourself.
Me in show business?
Yes. I know a magician who saws a woman in half. You'd look better in two pieces.
Take it easy, Fred. Look, miss, we don't want to argue. We'd just like to see our agent, Mr. Rockford.
Well, first I'll need some information. Now, what's the name of your act again?
Allen and Benny.
I thought you said it was Benny and Allen.
Well, at 2:00, our billing changes.
Well, what kind of an act do you do?
Violin, clarinet, and snappy patter.
And where have you played?
Oh, all over.
Well, where?
Well, just tell her the important dates, Jack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we did a week in Sow Belly, Wyoming. A week in Loose Tooth, Arizona. 3 days in Stagnant Water, New Mexico. And we also played the Palace here in New York.
Sow Belly, Loose Tooth, Stagnant Water, and the Palace. Well, at least you worked your way up.
No, we played the Palace first.
Well, Mr. Rockford's busy right now, so just have a seat and I'll call you.
All right.
By the way, Mr. Allen, I don't mean to be personal, but are you an American citizen?
Yes, I got these slant eyes from pulling off a tight derby.
Come on, Fred, let's sit down.
Okay. Yes. Oh, very well, Mr. Rockford. Oh, boys, Mr. Rockford will see you now.
Good. Come on, Fred, let's go in.
Okay.
Oh, come on in, fellas. Come on in. Close the door. Sit down.
Thank you. Mr. Rockford, I'm Jack Benny. This is Fred Allen.
That's right, Mr. Rockford. Remember, you booked our act in the Palace 7 years ago.
Oh, yes. What business are you in now?
Well, we're still in show business.
Yes, and we thought you could book us.
Please, fellas.
Our new act is sensational. At least give us a chance, Mr. Rockford.
Yes, all we need is one good break, you know.
I gave you a break when I put you in Lowe's Flatbush.
Some break. They opened with Fink's Mules, then Major Doty's Dogs came out, then Manny's Monkeys, then Powers Dancing Elephants.
So what?
Well, by the time we came out, we looked like the last two passengers on Noah's Ark.
Well, look, boys, I'm very busy.
Please, Mr. Rockford, just listen to our opening number. It'll only take a second.
All right, but before you... Oh, excuse me. Here, come in.
Mr. Rockford, here's the 10% commission I owe you for booking my act last week.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. A cute boy. Sonny, what's your name?
Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor?
Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to fall in love.
Mr. Rockford, how about listening to our new act?
Oh, all right, if you insist.
Ready with your clarinet, Fred?
Ready.
Okay. 1, 2. Mr. Allen.
What is it, Mr. Benny?
Have you heard that they're making women's bathing suits out of spun glass?
Women's bathing suits out of glass? Well, that's worth looking into.
I'll take it, Mr. Allen.
If you will. You know, Mr. Benny,
yes, Mr. Allen.
I love music.
So do I. Music once saved my uncle's life.
Well, how did music save your uncle's life?
They played the Star Spangled Banner just as he was sitting in the electric chair. Take it, Mr. Allen.
You know.
You'll have to finish it, you know.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
I want you to meet my new girl. Her name is Well Enough.
Why do you call your girl Well Enough?
Because I want the boys to leave Well Enough alone. How about the finale, Mr.?
In unison?
All right.
Well, Mr. Rockford, what do you think of it?
Wait till he gets his head out of the drawer.
Maybe he's looking for a contract.
Fellas.
Yes,
Mr. Rockford.
To tell you the truth, fellas, I'm confused. The whole act leaves me cold. It's neither fish nor fowl.
Well, that's funny. The last agent we went to thought it was both.
Well, Mr. Rockford, you mean you can't book us anywhere?
Well, actually, I don't have a thing open for a double. Have either of you considered doing a single?
What? And break up the act?
Why, we've been together for years. You can't split Benny and Allen.
It's ridiculous. We're more than just a team. We're partners, friends, buddies. Why, we'd rather starve than let anything come between us.
Well, that's a shame because I've got an opening for a single in Scranton for $15 a week.
I'll take it.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I'll take it for $14 a week, Mr. Rockford.
Fred, you steal a job away from your partner, your buddy, your friend?
Some friend. What did you ever do for me?
Why, you puff-eyed ingrate. For years, we've lived off my violin, my brains, my talent, my joke.
And my money. And listen, you miser. As for your violin playing, I have heard cleaner notes from a toothless Russian sipping borscht. You are just lucky you've had me and my clarinet.
Clarinet? The only way you could make a living with that clarinet is if you put a nail on the end of it and went out in the park. Rockford, rather than let you hire this no-talented wage cutter, I'll take the job for $10 a week.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll take it for $8.
I'll take it for $5.
Well, I'll take it for $3.
Well, I'll take it for nothing.
So will I.
Well, at that price, I can afford both of you.
Jack, did you hear that? We're working.
Fred!
Jack!